We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's going on, everybody? It's the Bronx Pinstripe Show. You got Scott here. I wanted to come on this week to give you a little break from the lack of production and the runner in scoring position failures that has been happening. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. So we wanted to bring you a Yankee legend. And while we're doing the show every Monday, we want to bring you guys some other episodes during the week. This week, Andrew is actually going to be talking with one of the Tampa Rays broadcast guys, pregame and postgame guys, and just to get a good introduction to the Tampa Bay Rays for the weekend series. So that should be good. Check that out on Friday. And today I'm bringing you the Andy Pettit interview that we actually got last week. Bronx Pinstripes writer and contributor and just all-around hustler Danielle McCartan actually went to a Steiner event, and we were able to get her some access and get an interview with Andy Pettit. And he was just tremendous. He was really awesome. Gave her about 8 to 10 minutes of time to conduct the interview, and actually had some really cool things to say about the Core Four and obviously the 20th anniversary with the celebration coming up on August 13th. So Danielle had a really good interview. I know she was very pumped up to do it, and we wanted to bring it to you guys in audio form as well so that you could check it out. But that's it. We will see you later in the week. Check out again Friday Andrew's preview of the Rays series with the Tampa Bay Rays broadcaster. And here comes the interview with Andy Pettit from Danielle McCartan.
Danielle McCartan for BronxPinstripes.com, here with Andy Pettit, Yankee legend, five-time world champion, three-time All-Star, number one in all postseason wins all time, pillar of the Yankee dynasty years, number 46 retired in the illustrious Monument Park. Andy, I'm so honored to be doing this with you. So the 96 team, they're going to be honored this summer. What are your thoughts on that? My first game was in 1996.
Oh, there you go.
So I don't mean to make you feel old, but what was different about that team than any other team in the Yankee years?
Well, I mean, they're all so different. I mean, for me, just personally, that was early in my career. It was my second year in the big leagues, mm-hmm. and it was kind of your first taste of, obviously that was our first championship. So we have in 95, we had a taste of the playoffs, mm-hmm. and then to be able to go in 96 and to, make a run in the playoffs and get deep, and then obviously win the World Series was huge for us. And so we had a great group of guys. We were younger players. We had a lot of older guys on the team that were great role models for us to mm-hmm. kind of follow and kind of teach us how to win and how to win big games and how to handle adversity and just all the things that come along with being a young player and kind of looking up to the guys that have been there and done that before you and trying to learn from them. So I've said it before, 96, that season was a great year for me personally. And then in the playoffs, it was kind of a stepping stone for me mm-hmm. to be able to always look back at that game, and especially the game five in Atlanta after, laying an egg in game one like mm-hmm. I did, not pitching real well. So, those were great learning lessons for us, and obviously to be able to win a championship, it helped kind of catapult us with confidence moving forward whenever we got into World Series. And obviously we were able to keep a group of guys together and go on a great run and put together a good little dynasty there for a while.
Yeah, so I'll be at the game on, I think it's August 13th at Yankee Stadium. What are your expectations going into that game, going back to the stadium, seeing your old teammates? What are you expecting?
Well, it's just going to be a blast. It's always fun. Yeah. It's going to be a blast. Anytime you get back with all the guys, it's like you never quit playing, really.
Yeah.
And some of those guys, it'll be 10 years probably since I've seen them,
Yeah.
But we just have a great time when we get back together, just like a bunch of kids getting together for Christmas, Be a lot of storytelling. And what'll be fun is I know the fans, will be so excited.
Yeah.
Fans are always so great here and love history. And we're just looking forward to it. It's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. So I read in Mariano's book that he actually wanted to finish that game. Whose decision was it to take him out of the game, and whose decision was it for you and Derek to go out there to take him out?
Well, that was Joe's decision. You know, I don't know if you've heard, you know, the story, but Joe came to me and I think it was like the sixth inning, saying he thought it'd be great if me and Derek went out there and took him out. I originally, when I first thought about it, I was like, man, that might not be good. You know, it might be showing up the other team or something like that. I just didn't want to do anything to draw attention to me and Derek. It's Mariano's kind of moment, you know.
Right.
And so I start talking to the guys in the dugout, and they're like, no, that's, you got to do that. That'd be incredible, you know. And so I end up going to talk to Mariano in between innings, and Joe was just wanting to know how Mariano wanted to come out of the game. And so Mariano was just like, y'all figure it out, basically. And so Joe just thought that'd be the great way to do it. Next thing I know, we're walking out there, and I don't know if Mo wanted to come out or not, but I'm glad he came out, and I'm glad we went out there, because it ended up being – it'll be one of the most special moments in my career when I look back and think about that.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool to see Mo's reaction and be able to sit out there, you know, give him a big old hug out there and him bawling on my shoulder and stuff like that. So that'll be a great memory for me and my family for a long, long time.
Yeah, and, you know, I was actually rewatching that yesterday, that embrace and everything. What was the conversation among the three of you out on the mound?
There was no conversation. I walked out there and just kind of joking around, saying, give me the ball, man, you know. And next thing I know, he starts hugging me. And next thing I know, he's bawling like he's one of my children, you know. And I'm patting him on the back. And like I said, I think I gave him a kiss on the forehead.
And Derek's like standing there awkwardly clapping.
And Derek's just standing there awkwardly. Yes, exactly. There was nothing said. He was crying. And he just walked off, you know. And so, you know, with no words being said out there, it was a pretty cool moment for us.
So the core four, you know, Pettit, Posada, Jeter, and Mariano. Do you guys still see each other? Do you guys like group chat and stuff? Or do you? When was the last time you guys all hung out together? If
yeah, you know, not really. I mean, we just I can't remember when the last time we were together. It was probably one of the days at Yankee Stadium last year. I think is when we were all together. We stay in touch occasionally, but we don't text a whole lot. I'm not a big phone text guy anyway. Most men I don't think are cell phone guys, so I don't make phone calls. I get in trouble for not calling my mom enough.
No, that's no good, so
anyhow, and that's what's always interesting when we get together. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, we just kind of pick up right where we left off. So we don't have a group message going or anything like that. Them three might have it, but I'm not in on it, so you'd have to ask them. But we stay in touch. It's definitely not once a week or anything like that, but I definitely talk to them and just always try to see how things are going and stuff like that.
I have to ask, any plans to attend a certain wedding anytime soon?
Yeah, no, I haven't. I got nothing on
that.
Because
I'm sure you'd be on the VIP list to that.
Know. We'll see. I hope, you know, so we'll have to see about that, but nothing yet.
Okay, so your numbers are tied in Monument Park. When you go into Monument Park, you see your 46 next to Ruth's 3, Berra's 8, Mantle's 7. What kind of emotions does that evoke for you and for your family?
Well, it's you know, again, it's just you really, it's one of those deals where you can't put it into words. It's a great honor. Mm-hmm. It's something that you know, when you played, you looked out there, you walked out there, and you saw the great players, and really, you know, you never really think like you're going to be out there, just because, as far as for me, I'm like, I'm not good enough to be out there. I mean, I'm pretty hard on myself.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of helped me in my career and kind of drove me to try to be great. But the game was hard for me, and it was a grind. Every time I went out there, I just didn't have dominant stuff, so I never really – I felt like dominated games. So it was a grind for me. But so in that sense, just never imagining that I would even be able to be out there, and then to get a call from them and tell me that they want to retire my number and give me a plaque out there, It is a tremendous honor, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Now, towards the end of your career, the velocity kind of dipped, and you were really forced to locate your pitches. We see that now, sort of, with C.C. Sabathia, and I know you've been kind of Professor Pettit with him. What advice have you been giving him and moving forward? Because he had one of the best starts this week for the opening week for the Yankees. Seems like it's working.
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay in touch with C.C., and, you know, he's just continuing to try to evolve as more of a command guy, more of change speeds and realizing he's going to have to locate than the power guy. And that's a big transition. I never had the 95, you know, 96, 97 mile an hour fastball like he had. So it was a lot easier for me. You know, I think I you know, probably topped out at 94 in the prime of my career. But I always pitched around, you know, 89 to 91, which is in the big leagues good hitting speed if it's not located. So so for me, it was a lot easier transition. And it seems like C's getting it. I've talked to him. I think he's starting to come around. I know he's been messing with the cutter, and that's feeling better for him. And he'll get there. He's got great stuff. He's a great command guy also, and he's a smart guy. And, you know, just hopefully if he stays healthy, I think he'll be able to give us a great year.
And what is the key for a deep playoff run for this year, for this particular team?
Gotcha. Well, I wasn't able to get to spring training this year.
Oh.
I was down there right before spring training.
Okay.
I was down there for a day and a half with the minor league players.
Okay.
They had a captain's camp with some of their top prospects. So I was there for that. I got to see some of the guys there. I did get to see a few of the big leaguers that were there early. But I haven't had a chance to really – I didn't have a chance to be around the team this spring. I'm helping coach my son's high school baseball team, and then I've got I'm coaching my 10-year-old son, Luke, his baseball team also. And so I just I've been swamped down there in Texas with them and just not wanting to miss, you know, any of their stuff.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to have to come up here this – you know, up to New York at this time, and I am right now. I'm missing two games over the next 2 days being
up
here now. So I was kind of reserving missing any games to this time right now. So anyhow, but I try to watch them as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to follow, you know, down in Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm keeping an eye on the guys for sure that, like, I've played with. Try to follow them a little bit more just because I've built up great relationships with those guys. But I'm always pulling for the Yankees, and it seems like they've gotten off to a pretty good start. And hopefully they'll have a great year. I know they got a lot of great talent and a lot of good people on that team.
From the fan perspective, when you go back to the stadium, if you ever do, or see on TV, people still wearing 46 in the stands. What does that mean for you?
Well, if they are, that's awesome. I love that. Well, I mean, it just – you know, you know that you've got some people there that love to watch you and loved what I did there in my career. Thankful for that because, you know, I tried to play the game the right way. I tried to do everything that I could the right way. I tried to be a great teammate. I tried to be a good role model for kids. I feel like that was important to me to try to do that. So I love it that people enjoyed watching me play the game and you know, are still supporting me and I guess trying to hold on to the memory of the number 46. So it makes you feel good.
Great. So that's it. I'm Daniel McCartan for Bronx Pinstripes. Andy Pettit, the legend. Thank you very much.
All right.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripes Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.